William Henry always talked about ancient Stargate systems. Are they different from these modern ones?
Absolutely and totally different, yeah. The ancient Stargate system is much more crude and quite dangerous for you to go through. This is a large subject. Some of this stuff I heard about from another witness who I call Daniel, and that's the guy I talk about on my 2012 Enigma video, which was number one on Google on December 1st, so it's really gotten popular.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And Daniel, I had an extensive amount of conversation with, and he was the first person to tell me about this ancient Stargate system. Now, the problem with this kind of stuff is that each of these guys gets different pieces of the puzzle, and not all of them get the same pieces. So you have to take a little bit from one and a little bit from another to put it all together. But according to Daniel's testimony, the knowledge that he was given while he worked at Montauk, which was actually called Phoenix 3, is the technical name it was given,
right,
said that there was an ancient race of beings called the Ancients, but kind of uninteresting name, but that was what they were called. And this is the same race that is, in the Stargate program, they refer to as the Ancients. And these guys came to the Earth before people were here and basically set up the game. And this includes, apparently, very large underground cities and a Stargate network, which is not just on Earth, but it's extended throughout at least our entire galaxy and possibly many others as well.
Now, these visitors, is this beyond the Sitchin Anunnaki research?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, when you start talking to the guys who really know what's going on, it's a lot more than most of the people that whistleblowers ever talk about get into. I mean,
all right,
we're talking about the Anunnaki represent one race of ETs, of which there are, according to Sergeant Clifford Stone, there's some 57 different varieties of human beings in one form or another that have visited us. But these
of which the Anunnaki could have been one of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Anunnaki are about 14 feet tall. They wear this kind of reddish-black armor with sort of a gold filigree on it. They wear masks. They don't let you see their face. When they come in and have a meeting with you, they will not sit down. They stand, which is very intimidating. They're highly telepathic, so they can read your thoughts. They can get into your mind and make you think things that you wouldn't think. And they're really not very respectful towards human beings. They see us as property, and the dealings that we've had with them on a governmental level have not been all that favorable to us. In fact, the problem is that they chose to work with the Germans during the time that the Nazi Party was coming into power. And according to Henry Deacon, the original meeting was set up for the Himalayan mountains. That was where the rendezvous took place with the Anunnaki. And there was some sort of limited agreement to share technology with them in exchange for assisting them in such things as developing a base in Antarctica and so forth. And what ended up happening was that apparently the deal fell through, Deacon is not clear as to the details, but we do still have a limited partnership with the Anunnaki, but it's not, it remains somewhat tense, let's put it that way.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. Well, why would the ancient Stargate systems, and again, some of those that Henry, for example, talks about, William Henry, uh-huh, why would those ancient Stargate systems be dangerous?
Well, Henry Deacon describes a process in which you go through a wormhole, which is very similar to what happened to Jodie Foster at the end of the movie Contact. In fact,
right, okay,
that whole sequence is totally based on what an ancient Stargate is actually like. These ancient Stargate systems do not allow anything but biological material to go through. That's another thing. When you come out the other side, if you tried to bring something with you that was not a living thing, it would have disintegrated.
Like your craft, for example, if you were sitting in something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. So, you know, it's funny because according to Daniel's testimony, he said that they were sending people through the ancient gate network, and when they'd go out the other side, their pants would fall down. Because the elastic on your pants was an inorganic material, enough so that it wouldn't make it through the gate.
That's funny.
So they had to give these guys these cotton drawstring pants, or else their pants would fall down.
That's funny.
So the ancient one of the things you got to understand about Stargate travel too is that it requires a certain degree of spiritual stability that most of us on this planet don't have. So when Henry Deacon is using the modern gate network, first of all, the modern gate network doesn't require any travel time. You don't feel this experience of going through a wormhole. You're not having this visual and kinesthetic experience of traveling through some sort of other dimension. You literally go from point A to point B instantaneously, and they've also worked out the kinks so that you can bring matter with you. It's not just life that goes through. The ancient gate system was designed so that you couldn't bring something through that would harm the life on the planet you go to. Basically, the intention was for these various human civilizations on various planets to be able to interact with each other in a peaceful way. And to some degree, the Stargate SG-1 television program and Stargate Atlantis has continued to emphasize that level to which the gate system was intended. But again, they have to give you a medication in order to stabilize your health to be able to use the gates. And the problem that happened to Henry Deacon was that he left his job very suddenly, and he went off this medication cold turkey. And he now has some pretty substantial health complications that have made it impossible for him to take another job like that.
Was he a traveler?
Yeah, he would basically jump over to a base on Mars. They had existing human habitations on Mars that were very ancient, and we are now told from Henry that there are some 240,000 personnel on Mars, of which only 10,000 are people that were born on Earth.
I'm beginning to realize why at conferences people sit in your lectures with their eyes open, because this is fascinating stuff, David.
Well, the problem, too, is that they take care of you. They treat you well when you get into these higher-level compartments of the black ops, and so none of these guys want to come forward. So we're very, very fortunate that Henry Deacon even exists, because, honestly, these guys keep to themselves, and they don't want to come forward because imagine there are bases all over the world in which you show up to work at this base. You go into what appears to be an ordinary looking room, the doors close behind you, and instead of just taking a trip on an elevator, you're now going to a whole other base on another planet. You can jump gate over to various large spaceships that we've built, which orbit in some cases deep space, even outside the solar system. And so they have all this technology already in existence. And it's mind-blowing when you start to realize how little most of us know.